in Exodus 20, 2 through 18. And it's the Ten Commandments. And yet, there are so many who say, oh, well, the seventh-day Sabbath has been done away with. Excuse me? Four of those 18 verses, I think it is, maybe five, of those are the fourth commandment that God wrote with his finger and spoke to his chosen people at the time. When you think about that, it's astounding, I think. So that's one, the Sabbath, which points to God's Ten Commandment law. Now, what's the second one? The promise that Jesus gave when he left. John 14, 1, 2, and 3. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, what? I will come again to take you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Okay? The Sabbath, the second coming of Jesus. Those are the two primary doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They just are. I mean, obviously, it's Jesus is the Son of God, and he was killed for our sins. His blood was shed for our sins. I mean, those are all things that everybody, quote, in the Christian movement believe. And what is the third one that is the foundational pillar of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? The plan of salvation as outlined in the sanctuary service that God gave to Moses in the wilderness. Those are the three that make the Seventh-day Adventist movement different than all other Christian denominations. Those three. How important, then, are they? Obviously, our name, Seventh-day Adventist, covers the first two. We are Seventh-day believers that the fourth commandment is still in effect, and we are looking for the advent of Jesus Christ. That's where we got our name. And yet the sanctuary, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is the only denomination in the world that has the sanctuary doctrine. Did you know that? Nobody else has it. Why? Because if you have it, then you have to tie the Old Testament into the New Testament. I mean, I was raised an Episcopalian, and we had our Bible was the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. We didn't even have the Old Testament in the Bible. And I've gone to Baptist churches. Same place, same thing. And we used to pass these things out. The Bible. It's not the Bible if it doesn't have the Old Testament. But this is from the Great Controversy, page 488. Listen very carefully. The subject of the sanctuary and the investigative judgment should be clearly understood by the people of God. Okay? The sanctuary, and that's the sanctuary service and everything that's in it, and the investigative judgment. Now, I'm not going to be able to get into the investigative judgment today because that's about I have a book that's about 540 pages long explaining the investigative judgment. So there's a lot of stuff in that. And basically, the Seventh-day Adventists are the only ones that have that understanding. Although, if you push somebody, don't push them too hard. I probably push them too far, my wife says, but that's okay. The fact is, many of them believe in, quote, a pre-Advent judgment. Well, if it's how do you make a judgment? Now I'm off on a tangent, I'm sorry. How do you can't make a judgment without investigating the facts. So I'll try to not go there. So we each have a soul. This is continuing on great controversy. Each individual has a soul to save or to lose. Each has a case pending at the bar of God. Each must meet the great judge face to face. Daniel 7 says, how important then that every mind contemplate often the solemn scene when the judgment shall sit and the book shall be opened, and every individual must stand in his lot with Daniel at the end of days. You know, I don't pull punches. This is just fact. This is what the Bible says. We all have to be there. You can't escape being there. You are going to be in the first resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Or you're going to be in the second resurrection. Oh, Lord, forgive them. You know? So, Review and Herald, May 25th, 1905, in an article entitled The Work for This Time. In the future, deception of every kind is to arise, and we want solid ground for our feet. We want solid pillars for our buildings. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. Who established it? I've heard so many nasty comments about Ellen White. Every time she spoke, she said, take this book. Amen. Every time. You may not agree with the way she interprets it. That's fine. But this is the book. The enemy will bring in false theories such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. How simple. All you gotta do is read Hebrews. And it's there. We're gonna get into that. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Where shall we find safety unless it be in the truths that the Lord has been given for the last 50 years. So, critical that we understand that we don't have to rewrite history. We don't have to find all the new doctrine ourselves. That new light is going to come. But that light will only come as long as we, as individuals, are living up to the light we have already been given. And you have to prove it by this, right? The Bereans were more noble, thank you, that word had slipped my mind, noble than the Thessalonians, because what did they do? They took the Old Testament and proved what Paul was trying to teach them. So that's another discussion we can have some other time. Okay, so let's go to Exodus 25. So if you got your Bible, turn to Exodus 25. We're going to be 25, 26, 27 to start. I don't know. Danny didn't tell me how long I could talk, so that could be dangerous. But I'll try not to go. Oh my! Already 12:15. Okay. The scripture verse, Exodus 25:8-9. Thank you, young lady, for reading that, wherever you are. Thank you so much. And let them make me a sanctuary. So what's a sanctuary for? For God, that I may dwell among them. God wanted to dwell among his people on this earth. Verse 9, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. After a pattern? Where was the pattern? Oh, you mean there's a sanctuary in heaven? Mercy, mercy. Oh, well. Verse 16, Exodus 25. And thou shalt make an ark of the testimony which I shall give thee. Now, what is the testimony? The Ten Commandments. Almost all the time in the Old Testament, when it talks about the testimony of God, it's the Ten Commandments. Okay? So when we talk about the Ark of the Testimony, it's the Ark that has the Ten Commandments in it. And we'll get, he actually says that here. Verse 17, and they shall make me a mercy seat of pure gold, and it gives how big it is. And then verse 21, and you shall put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. How clear is that? I mean, this is the very difficult King James Version. Huh? Difficult? It's plain English. Please. My wife told me not to get too sarcastic, so I'm trying. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee above the mercy seat from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, and of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits, and the cubit, and tells how big it is. You shall make a candlestick of pure gold, beaten work, and tells you how to make that. And then verse 37, and you shall make 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And verse 40, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which I showed you on the mount. Moses didn't just dream this stuff up. God showed it to him. And he says that over and over and over again. You go to Exodus 26:30, and it says, and you shall rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee on the mount. Go to the precise details God gave to Moses and said multiple times, make it like the pattern I have shown you. I mean, how clear can that get? Moving on to Exodus 31. And here the Lord repeats and summarizes all the instructions again. Verse 7, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereon and all the furniture of the tabernacle and the table and his furniture and the pure candlestick and all his furniture, the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture and the laver and his foot. Verse 10, and the anointing oil, sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Who commanded Moses? God did. I don't understand why people have such a problem with believing that this sanctuary in the wilderness was made according to the way God wanted it. It wasn't of man's fanciful ideas. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak you unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Two things. The Sabbath, you have to keep because we are going to be justified, or we have been justified when we come to Jesus by his blood. That's, we're justified. Okay? Now, do we stop there? A lot of Christians do. Oh, well, I'm justified. I'm saved. And they don't change. They continue to live in sin. No, the Sabbath is a sign that God is going to make us righteous. Now, we are declared righteous by justification. Sanctification, we actually become righteous. Sorry, that's what the Bible says. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. There is not one verse in the Holy Bible that says the first day of the week is holy, or God ever made it holy, blessed, or sanctified. Not one verse out of those 30,102. Sorry, it's not there. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, it's holy, and everyone that defiles it's going to be put to death. That's what this says. And on, you know, six days to work, and the Sabbath, the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. It's holy to the Lord. Verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Perpetual means eternal both ways. That's perpetual. This isn't that forever and forever that people can twist the meaning of the Hebrew and the Greek words around to say, well, that really doesn't mean forever because, you know, Noah was this and Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever and, you know, that was 3 days. And, you know, no, that this is perpetual. It's a whole different thing. And then it says, verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This is the only day God has blessed on a weekly basis as holy and sanctified. And then at verse 18, this is Exodus 31, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. That's what the Bible says. But, you know, it is really amazing. You look at, now, go back these final instructions to Moses. Verse 13 says, my Sabbaths are a sign that I'm the Lord that does sanctify you. Verse 14 says, keep the Sabbath, it is holy. Verse 15, the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Verse 16, Israel shall keep the Sabbath as a perpetual covenant. Verse 17, a sign between me, the Lord, and Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. 18, he gave Moses two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with his own finger. The Lord calls the Sabbath my Sabbath, says the Sabbath is holy to him. And he said the Sabbath is a sign. Now, let's jump into the New Testament, Hebrews 9. Paul describes the earthly sanctuary and the necessity of blood sacrifice and the death of a testator. Until Jesus died, the new covenant was not ratified. Did you know that? Because Jesus says, this is the new covenant in my blood. Let that sink in, because this is absolutely critical. I have a will that I have made all legal and all that stuff. If I died today, can you change my will tomorrow? No. My will is fixed when I die. When was the new covenant fixed? On Friday, when Jesus died. Now, was the fourth commandment still in effect? How do you know? Because he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Luke 25, 24 and 25, end of 24, early 25. And so did the ladies, who were probably his most obedient followers. That's just a fact from the Bible. So, when was the Sabbath done away with? It wasn't ever done away with, the seventh-day Sabbath, contrary to what some people teach. So, moving right along. So, how important is the sanctuary in heaven? This is Hebrews 9, starting at verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 22, critical verse. Almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, another word for remission is forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for your sin. Did Jesus ever sin? No. So why did he shed his blood? He shed his blood for my sin and for the sins of every person sitting here, whether you acknowledge it or not, is not relevant. He shed his blood for your sins. So, verse 23, it was therefore, now listen to this very carefully, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with these. Okay, the patterns of the things in heaven were the earthly sanctuary, right? Okay, it's a little bit confusing the way it's written, but that's what it means. But then it says, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. So, what are the better sacrifices than the blood of the goats and calves? Christ's blood. And it doesn't actually go right into there, but it the next verse says, for Christ is not entered into a holy place or the holy places made with hands, which are a figures of the true. In other words, what was made in the wilderness was a figure of the real sanctuary. So where's the real sanctuary? Is there a real sanctuary in heaven? Let that sink in. Because 90% of professing Christians don't believe it. Almost all that I talk to outside of the Seventh-day Adventist Church don't believe it. They want to argue with me. Can you believe they want to argue with me? Sweet, lovable Al. Yeah. Okay. And it says, as I said, for Jesus is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. How clear is Hebrews? Maybe that's why Martin Luther wanted Hebrews taken out of the Bible. He also wanted the book of James taken out of the Bible because it didn't agree with his discussions. And most people don't understand. Martin Luther had 95 theses nailed to the church store in Wittenberg, right? All those 95 theses were about the church taking authority when they didn't have it. It had nothing to do with righteousness by faith. But I've heard so many sermons in my lifetime, people telling me that the 95 theses, oh, well, you know, he was talking about salvation by faith alone. Yes, he was, but not on the 95 theses. See, I had heads up on them. Because when I was in college, I had a history thesis that I had to write and a English thesis. I wrote them both on the 95 theses. And that was before I was a committed Christian. It was just history for me. I went to a military school, so it was, but it was very interesting. But the things that I learned, it's not about salvation by faith, the 95 theses, even though that was Martin Luther's big thing. So moving on. Now, you have a folder. What did I do with mine? Uh-oh. Oh. Now mine's a little bit different in color than yours, but these are incredible studies, I think. So, what did God ask Moses to build? A sanctuary. We already read that. Exodus 25:8. Let them make me a sanctuary for the purpose of dwelling with us. What are we to learn from the sanctuary and its services? Psalm 77:13 says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." So why don't other denominations teach the sanctuary if that's the way of God? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." But the way of God is in the sanctuary. Therefore, Jesus is in the sanctuary. Every single thing in the sanctuary is about Jesus. Praise God. You want to get to know Jesus better? Or just know more about him? Study the sanctuary, because it's all there. The entire plan of salvation, how God shows us how he is going to get sin out of his universe. It's all there. Hallelujah. Every time I say that, I get so excited, in case you couldn't notice. Okay, so what was the source of the plan of the sanctuary, and of what was it a miniature copy? We've already talked about this, but in Hebrews 8:1-5, it says, the writer, I believe it was Paul. There are a lot of people that the higher critics say, well, that's not the way Paul wrote that, not his words. Whatever, it's in the Bible, okay? Hebrews 8:1-5. Now, of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that the priests offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5, who serve unto the examples and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern I showed you on the mount. That's the New Testament. That's not the Old Testament. So why do people have such a problem with that? I don't know. Okay, what about the furniture in the courtyard? This is question four in that handout. What is the furniture? We have the altar of burnt offering. So, what happens at the altar of burnt offerings? The blood of the lamb that the sinner themselves had to kill is sprinkled on it, right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Exodus 27, 1 through 8, you need to read that, but in John 1, 28, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming unto him, and what did he say? Everybody knows this together. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John the Baptist knew. He had no education. He didn't do anything except get born, right? That's the altar of burnt offering. The laver, Exodus 30, 17 through 21. And we're told in Exodus 38, 8, and he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it with brass, and the looking glasses of the women. They brought them in together, and they took all the things that they made themselves, by looking at them, made themselves beautiful. And they made this laver of brass to wash away the sins. That is how we are to do what? We're to testify that we are followers of Jesus. And we go into the water, all the way into the water, and we leave our sins there, and we come up, okay? Washed by the blood of Jesus. Okay. So, then we go into the holy place. And Titus 3, 5 tells us, we're not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we publicly declare our belief in Jesus Christ and the fact, acknowledge that we, in fact, are sinners, and we get baptized as a public declaration. What furniture is in a holy place? We have, A, the table of showbread. John 6, 51 says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. How clear is that? Who is the bread that's represented by the table of showbread? Jesus is. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, sweetheart. Okay, and then they have the seven branch candlestick. How does that represent Jesus? John 9, 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 1, 9. This was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Zechariah 4, 1 through 6. And he said unto me, what seest you? What do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and a bowl on top of it, and seven lamps, seven pipes, seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Pretty clear. Revelation 4, 5, and out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunders and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Okay, we're still in the holy place. The altar of incense. Exodus 37 and 8, and Aaron shall burn incense thereon, sweet incense, every morning when he dressed the lamps, and he burn incense on it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, and a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. Now, I didn't go through the, there's a way to make this incense. And if anybody makes that incense according to the recipe in the Bible, The Bible says that they will be put to death. So I don't know whether anybody's ever tried, but I'm not trying, I can tell you. Revelation 5:8 says, "And when he," Jesus, "had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 fell down before the Lamb, everyone having their harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." People want to argue about that. I tell them the incense that's going up are your prayers. "Oh, no, it's not. It doesn't say that in the Bible." Oh, yes, it does. Oh, well. So what is the furniture in the most holy place? The Ark of the Covenant or Testimony, the mercy seat of pure gold, and the two golden cherubims. Psalm 80, verse 1. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." And question number 7 in the handout, what was inside the ark? The Ten Commandment testimony of God. Revelation 14:12. "Here is the patience of the saint. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Deuteronomy 10:4-5. "And he wrote on tables according to the first writing and the Ten Commandments which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly and gave them unto me. I turned myself and came down the mountain and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they are, just as the Lord commanded me." And above the ark was the mercy seat. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them," that's the sanctification stuff, "forsaking your sins, they shall have mercy." So, and then what I had quoted before is Matthew 6:28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And of course, Hebrews 9:22, "There, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." So I thought there was one other verse that I really wanted to read. I don't have it here. I thought I had it. John has a vision of heaven. And I can't remember exactly where this is. What did he see when he saw the vision in heaven? He saw the Ark of the Testimony. It's permanent. It's in heaven. This was 60 years after Christ died, and the Ark of the Testimony was in heaven. There is no doubt that God put together this sanctuary system to take care of your sin and mine. Now, if you all let me come back, I'll be back here next month, and we are going to talk. We are going to do a general overview of the prophecies of Daniel. It's critical. And then, if I get to come back again after that, I will start a series on the investigative judgment and the Day of Atonement. Because I believe, just like Sister White wrote, that we need to understand what God has done to take care of the sin problem. Precious, loving Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you have, in fact, given the life of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah of Israel, your only begotten Son, that we could live with you forever in heaven. And we thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I hope that was okay. I think there's something else. Who else is doing something? Oh, we get to sing. You better turn this off.